Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. I want to thank our sponsor, the One Institute, for letting us be here tonight and making sure that we are back with you again. Tonight, Dr. Allen has an extremely special guest, and he is going to be talking about what he does, and we'll have questions back and forth between Dr. Allen and Damian Bertram. Damian, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Dr. Allen, you are on the air.
Great.
We already have somebody calling in, so let's go ahead and take it before we start. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. What's going on?
Hi. Oh, my goodness. I had a question about something that she was talking about last week, and I wanted to follow up because I was confused.
Good.
Okay. You said socially be monogamous when you, as well as emotionally monogamous.
No, I didn't. I said sexually and socially monogamous.
Right.
I didn't.
So the woman that called last week and said that her boyfriend was going out on a date, possibly with another woman, she shouldn't ask and follow up when he said a friend. I was confused as to why.
Because if she's his mother, he's her son, and they're already screwed.
So how am I to know if he is? So just trust that he's telling the truth.
Your gut will tell you. Instinct will tell you.
Okay. And if my gut says he was, then can I ask
was
questions
what?
Then?
He was what? Faithful
was
or unfaithful?
Was not being honest or not being faithful?
No, he wasn't being obedient. Obedience is not a skill that men want. Boys want it. Because when they're obedient for mama, she nurses them with whatever he thinks is good. Sex, food, whatever. See, you got to be really careful. Remember, men are very, very sensitive inside. Outside, they carry all their strength on the outside. We, little wussies that we are, we look like and we are, act like we're just sweetie little pies. I do very well at it. And we are the toughest animals on the planet. So when he said, I'm going with a friend, what genitals were on that friend indicate your insecurity. If you're with a man and he says, I'm going with a friend, you've either not built or you've built a good relationship, which your instinct, he lives by his intuition. You live by your instinct. So if you need to gather information on genitalia, you're with the wrong man.
Okay.
Thanks, caller. Damian, tell us what you do, Damian.
Well, I'm a hypnotherapist, so I see clients in my office here in West Hollywood for multiple different needs that they have, such as weight loss or quitting smoking. Or my specialty is actually past life regression, and I use past life regression as a therapy to see if someone in today's life has certain maybe insecurities or issues or questions, why they can't love their husband or can't love their children or feel like they're not loved or any other type of issues, if it's related to maybe some sort of event that happened to them possibly in a past life. So when I hypnotize them and I go back into their subconscious, I look to see if there's any kind of past life memories that can come up, experiences, times, places, names that they can give me of, who they were, what year they were living in, where they were living, all the way down to like the street names and, with their office, where they worked, what mm-hmm. they did. And then, And then through that as well, I asked them, you know how their life was. Were they happy? Were they content? Were they emotionally satisfied? Were they did they feel like they fulfilled, you know, their life's purpose? What they were most proud of? All kinds of really personal questions to see how that life, you know, impacted their soul and what they've carried into this life as well.
Right, through reincarnation.
Yes,
Dr. Allen.
Yes.
You are a believer in reincarnation, and you have worked with past life experiences.
Yes, I have. Ronald Wong Ju, doctor, he was a psychologist. Mm-hmm. I met a man at one of my seminars, and he became a client. But I was so enraged by him that I thought, I thought, there's something past life here. So I went to Dr. Ronald Wong Ju. He's not practicing anymore. But guess what? I was the daughter of a chieftain on a cliff. I can still see it. Mm-hmm. In Ireland. I'm half Irish. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman was a Danish Viking. Mm. And he came over. And he got up the cliff, went the cliff and destroyed my then father's estate. Mm. So what I was experiencing was the rage of that moment. How long ago? Mm-hmm. Do you see?
Yeah, so you carried that with you into life. And then you had a past life experience with this gentleman and you met him in this life.
I met him, and I was instantly rageful. Only it was serious. I would dream of killing him. Mm, wow. I thought, this is not cool. Yeah. So he worked with me, and this man happens now to be one of my best friends, a mentor. You know, really, a really familial relationship.
Wow.
And it's like 20 years to 30 years, it's got to be 30 years.
Wow.
So I myself have experienced, it was one of my first, I was in bioenergetics, and then I switched over to regression hypnotherapy.
Yes.
And those two were extremely significant to my well-being. So I'm very supportive of what you do.
Oh, great. Thank you. It's very beneficial. Past life regression therapy is a lot different than general hypnotherapy because, general hypnotherapy, if someone, needs to lose weight, so they'll come to see me and it'll really be a one-way type hypnotherapy where I'll put them into a hypnotic state and then I'll train their subconscious not to eat certain foods, not to like certain foods, to eat smaller portions, not eat after a certain time in the day, all these different, things that will help them.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
I had a big fat man come in as a client, and I sent him, didn't know you at the time, to a regression hypnotherapist, and the hypnosis had to be done. He lost tons of weight. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you a question. It seems like within 6 weeks, you have to have another situation.
A follow-up? A session. Follow-up session type thing?
Like another session?
Is that true?
Well, yeah, especially with things like for weight
losing
loss.
Losing weight.
Yeah, specifically for weight loss, because you're constantly in contact with food.
Triggered and triggered and triggered.
Right, and then you also have to talk to the client and find out, why are they overeating? Why are they...
Strokes.
Could it be, is it an emotional thing? Is it just out of, cravings? What is it really? So we have to get to the root of that as well to treat that person properly. With that kind of therapy, I'll usually see a client, over probably an 8-week span once a week to really reinforce the message. And then they'll probably come see me, once every 3 months as a follow-up as well.
There is a cyclical need.
It's for most clients, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever run into a situation where you're dealing with somebody either like for smoking or weight loss or whatever, and then you realize that maybe there's something in their past life that is causing the issue now?
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good question because clients who usually come see me for a specific purpose, like quitting smoking, weight loss. And then I'll have clients that specifically because of my television show on Lifetime, you know, they'll see me.
What television show?
Yes, I
don't
want to talk about
flip
that.
By that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll
this
get
commercial.
Well, yeah, the season one finished. It was on LMN on Saturday nights at 10 p.m. called Reincarnated Past Lives.
That's Lifetime Movie Network, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a one-hour show based on what I do, and I would see two clients per episode and do regressions with them, and then I had a search team do a follow-up. And so if Dr. Allen was on the show and she was hypnotized and she went back to Ireland and she lived this life, we would have a team and do the research in Ireland, look up birth certificates.
Like genealogically speaking.
Right.
Awesome.
And try to corroborate what Dr. Allen said and then present it back to Dr. Allen and say, you know, this is who you said you were and this is what we found, pictures of the place. And does it resonate
I've
with you?
I've gone back to Ireland and have found the estate where my family was.
Well, how did you feel when you went there?
I was good then because, remember, I had done it and I had made peace with the war, you know, and with this gentleman, not romantically, but made peace. So I felt like I was home.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yes.
So you really felt a familial attachment?
Yes.
And did you feel like, and I'm curious about this, when you went there, if you'd never visited before and you would just have this past life experience, when you went there.
Well, there was a gap between.
But did you feel like, could you picture it? Could you feel the energy resonate through that experience?
Yes.
To the place.
Like everybody that I saw was family.
Mm. Wow.
Do you see?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very, very.
So it was very, I'm just putting those dots together now that you mention it.
That's really amazing. Mm-hmm. That is really cool.
Yeah, most, and my clients, you know, really, it gives them a lot of answers, basically. It makes them understand who they are today, what they've carried over from a past life, which shapes their soul in today's life. And it helps them understand and sort of move forward based on the information that they get.
Right.
So usually a client will see me for a specific purpose, but sometimes we'll end up doing a regression if they ask me for it, so that we can, you know, find out if there is something in a past life that's causing their, you know, their overeating or their stress or their anxiety or their lack of self-confidence or whatever it is.
Now, I visited your website and I thought you had some really interesting FAQs. And one of them was, can anyone get stuck in a hypnotic state? And I thought that was a really interesting question. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, that's a great question because a lot, you know, hypnotherapy is mainstream today. More and more, but a lot of people are still concerned, you know, and they wonder, is it magic? Is it something like, are you put into a spell? And absolutely not. And Dr. Allen's well versed on this as well, and I'm sure she'll probably touch on it. But the what I do is a very simple process where I go through some visualization, some, you know, body relaxation, all through my voice. I'm not using, you know, the old clock or anything, right?
You have the pocket watch, right?
None of that. So it's really just a simple process where I relax the conscious mind and open up the subconscious. In fact, it's the exact same state that you fall into every night when you fall asleep. So there's really no danger with hypnotherapy. And if someone was hypnotized and, you know, I left them there, to say, they would eventually just wake up.
Just like you do out of just a regular sleep.
Exactly. So there's really no risk.
Good. I specialize in dreams.
Oh, great.
What's coming up.
That's right.
But I, when Kelly said you were coming, I remembered my past with regression hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. And I really support. How can people reach? What's your website?
Oh, okay. My website is DamianBertrand.com. And that's spelled D-A-M-I-A-N Bertrand, which is B-E-R-T-R-A-N-D. com. And they can always just Google, you know, Damien the hypnotist or Damien Bertrand, and they'd find me.
What city are you in?
My office is in West Hollywood.
Got it.
So real close.
Okay.
So your Lifetime show.
Yes.
Are they going to, you're going to have another season?
Well, we hope so.
I got to peek at one today. I didn't have a lot of time before I left home to peek at it, but I had looked at your site before, but I didn't get a chance to go to Lifetime and like play one, but I did get to peek today.
Yep.
And I was really intrigued. And I wonder, How do you get on your show? How do people get on your show? How do you pick your...
You know, we did a casting call for season one, and I was really personally involved because I wanted to see who we you know, choose for the episodes. And what I did was, we had hundreds of people respond and say they wanted to be regressed for the show. And then I had the production company ask specific questions to all those applicants. And based on that, they brought it down to 60 candidates, who I interviewed each personally for about 5 minutes. And we went down. I picked 18 people for season one. Based on the 18, not everyone got hypnotized properly. Not everyone had, you know, great stories. But we ended up, I think, with 14 great candidates, great stories, and we used those people for the episodes.
Can you usually tell when you meet somebody whether or not they're going to be a good candidate, like you said, in your five-minute interview, or do you really have to sit there and try to work with them to get them to go under?
You really do have to talk to them. I mean, anyone is a good candidate for hypnosis because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I can't be hypnotized. But that's not true. Everyone can be hypnotized if they want to be hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it really matters on how they feel that day, you know, their state of mind and their willingness to follow, you know, my rhythm and my instructions. But, you know, in the studio, when there's a lot of lights and cameras, the four people that we didn't use, you know, they were just maybe a little bit nervous from the setting or that day, you know, people have days where they're off. So maybe it just didn't work for them. But generally speaking, I can't just look at someone and say, oh, this person's great. It's really just talking to them, building rapport and a bond with them. And then, you know, from there, we can move forward.
So it's really basically the same way that Dr. Allen would pick. Well, she has a lot of clients, you both, I'm sure, have lots of clients. And then maybe sometimes they come in and you just don't click with them. You just don't have the rapport. I know.
Transference.
I coach.
That's right.
I do coaching, mm-hmm, and yeah. So I will meet some people, and they'll want me to be their coach, and I'm like, there's just no click. The keyway is not going. It's like we're two magnets repelling, and I wonder if that is ever an issue. Or, Dr. Allen, do you find that's an issue when you take clients on?
It's Freud said that transference was the significant issue,
yeah,
that you had to transfer to your therapist like a parent or it wasn't going to work. And mm-hmm. I find it true.
Do you find you ever run into anybody who has gravitated to you, mm-hmm, that actually was somehow involved in your past life, or have you experienced it yourself, past life?
I do have clients that feel that we've shared experiences in past lives. That does happen from time to time. It's very rare. But as far from my end, I would have to go through a regression to see if I can find that, you know, that other person as well.
That connection.
The tricky part with past life regression is I can never guarantee what life you're going to fall into.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that's the thing. A lot of people, you know, will ask a hypnotherapist, you know, I feel like I haven't found my soulmate, but I feel like I know who he is. Can you go back to a past life, to this past life? I feel like it was like 200 years ago in Spain or somewhere. And can you bring me back there so I can really have another look at him and see if I can find him in today's life?
Right, right.
And that's just impossible because whatever past life you fall into when I'm doing a session with you, there is a purpose for that.
Right.
You know, and whatever comes out on that day, there's a purpose for that. And I can't guide the person, you know, to a specific place because I really don't, you know, lead them to any answers. The answers come from them. And that's what I was touching on earlier with a past life regression therapy. It's really a two-way communication. I'm, you know, the person, my client is in the hypnotic state, and then I'm asking them, you know, where are you? How do you feel? Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And the answers come. Whereas with, you know, other types of therapy or hypnotherapy, I'm telling them, you won't like this, you won't do this, and so on.
Right.
So that's the real difference. There's really no guiding on my part with past life regression.
So you think that since... under the thought of reincarnation, often where young souls or old souls may have lived hundreds of lives.
Right.
Young souls may have only lived two, mm-hmm, or maybe it's the first one. So, and I know Dr. Allen also supports this, that with the thought of reincarnation, sometimes there's an old soul, sometimes there's a young soul. So when you do a hypnotherapy past life regression session with somebody, if you do multiple ones, do you find that they ever go to different times, different places, different lives?
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. In a typical session, I'll only go into one life. Although, if that life is very short and we don't really get much, you know, much, many answers or much purpose, I guess, then in that same session, I'll go back to another life. And occasionally, very occasionally, I might go into a third life. And sometimes the lives will actually bounce where the first life will be in, you know, 1250 AD. And then the second life will be in 18th century. And then the third life will be like in the 15th century.
Wow.
You never know. And then oftentimes it's in the 20th century, in the beginning of the 20th century. So you get some really, you know, amazing answers coming from these people. And as who they were and what they did, and it's interesting that almost, you know, most, you know, 99% I would say of my clients come back as regular people. They're not, you know, famous people. They weren't people that
You're not getting Alexander the Great and Napoleon.
Right.
You're
right.
Getting Sadie, who lived on a farm in Kansas
with real issues and real life experience. Yeah. And that's what really convinced me, because, you know, when I started this business 15 years ago, I didn't past life regression wasn't something I really wanted to get into because I wasn't sure that it was actually genuine. I didn't believe it.
Right.
But through my experience, I really, really had no choice but to believe. You know,
right.
I did think everyone would come back as King James and, you know,
Queen
such and such.
Queen Elizabeth
right.
and Mary, Queen of Scots, and Dracula.
Right.
And all these interesting and amazing people that we come through history. And, of course, if you continuously hit on somebody that was, you know, Mary, Queen of Scots or King Henry VIII, then you would be like, eh, I don't know. But it's interesting because you are visiting with people's past lives that are just normal, just everyday people.
That's right.
That maybe had a tragic loss or something, and they're just still aching from it, or you know, maybe didn't really live the life that they were supposed to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And in fact, in Dr. Allen's case, you know, she lived through this trauma with her father and the war and these atrocities that happened to her family. But
He's become like a mentor and a best friend.
That's great.
That's big.
Yeah.
For me.
Now, Dr. Allen talks about interprets dreams, and she talks about setting your limen before you go to sleep, so that when you wake up, you remember your dreams, and setting your limen for your day and things like that, which I think is a little bit of a form of sort of self-hypnosis. As you're going to sleep, you're saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to remember my dreams, I'm going to, you know. Now, I have had the experience where I can say, I want to dream about this.
Wow.
And I can tell myself, I want to dream about this, I want to dream about this, and I will set the scenario up in my mind, I will go to sleep, I will dream it.
So you manifest it.
I will dream it in vivid living color. So I know sitting in layman is not only possible, but can really be restorative. Because if I know, if I've had an off day and I'm like, I'm going to go to sleep, I'm going to have like Alice's dream, I've got to change this tonight, I can't do this, I need to sleep, I will alter my dream. I will say, I will dream this. This is what I will dream about. I will dream walking on the beach. I will dream about sailing on a ship.
Wow.
No Kraken's going to come out of the water and get me. You know, I set the dream and I set my alignment, and I feel that maybe, and I could be wrong, you two can chime in on this, is a form of self-hypnosis.
I believe you can do so much with your subconscious and your mind.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
You know, good or bad, unfortunately, our subconscious has been programmed through all kinds of, you know, negative negative influences mm-hmm. that we doubt ourselves, we don't take risks, we question, we self-sabotage many times. So using this positive reinforcement mm-hmm. and this, you know, this type of self-hypnotherapy can only benefit you.
Right. So what is both of your stance on self-hypnosis and whether or not it can be dangerous to somebody who does not necessarily know what they're doing? Do you think it ever can be detrimental?
Not self-hypnosis. I don't believe so. I like the idea that I know Native Americans, Sonoy dream work is lucid dreaming.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So I choose to believe that even though my experience was based on a PTSD experience, I still wanted to heal it. So I didn't kill the man that was standing there in front of me.
But it became a very beneficial relationship.
It was
after you faced the situation, the scenario.
I didn't know why I was so mad at him. How can you be mad at somebody you just met? How can you be just...
I don't know, but I've also had an experience before where I've just met somebody and I thought, I just cannot freaking stand you.
Now,
I don't
that,
like you.
That
you make
would
me
be,
angry.
That would be where you'd go to Damien and find out, what's that about? That's
yeah.
what I did.
I mean, I've had that experience before. I mean, just like walking through the supermarket, thinking to myself, you're an idiot.
But did you?
Without ever knowing the person, which was really unfair, but it's just a shotgun reflex. Like, I don't like you. You know, and I'm not usually like that. I'm a very person like, oh, that guy's okay, whatever. You know, I'm mellow.
Well,
that's fine.
It called for Damien.
Yeah, definitely. So you felt you got a lot of resolution and benefit out of it.
Not only that, but this human being, you know, I don't know whether he, on his side, was guilty, but he has spent 30 years seeing that my life would work.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, I mean, like the word mentor.
What I think is interesting is since she had that with him, I wonder if his spirit, his soul, is trying to make restitution for what went on with her in the past.
And do you know what I did?
What's that?
I'm a Knight Templar. And I had him knighted.
Wow.
This past year. You know, and it just all fits together.
Hmm.
And I feel like I've paid back for the years, you know, helping me deal with the building I work out of is his building. The last building. The apartments I rent, do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And I helped him with his family. And
That's an amazing story. And it's great that it shows how in different lives we can actually, you know, overcome our differences and we can mend, you know, broken
yes.
hearts and move forward.
Totally.
Yeah, and that's
for
fantastic.
Mutual benefit.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that is so interesting, and I think it's amazing because I know that as a human being and, you know, your soul sometimes, like I said, you're like, you don't understand what's happening with you. Maybe you're angry or maybe you feel very akin to somebody instantaneously, like an instant kinship, and
right.
you don't understand that. Sometimes you're like, I've just met this person 5 minutes ago. How could I?
Remember, 90% of our awareness is unconscious.
Yes.
We're only aware of 10%. You know?
which is kind of weird in a way.
And
know?
Hypnotherapy and dream analysis are two ways to raise that level of consciousness.
Very true. Very true. And I think we've all gone through experiences, you know, all the listeners out there right now have gone through experiences where they're walking down the street and they'll cross paths with someone and just instantly know that they
yes.
recognize that person for
yeah.
good or for bad, but they do. And I also believe that deja vus are also, you know, evidence of past life experiences and,
mm-hmm.
and showing us how our mind is, you know, so much more than we can actually tap into
oh,
on a conscious
awesome.
Level.
No, that's very interesting because... the whole deja vu experience is really weird. And sometimes it'll be like microseconds of time, like then something will happen immediately. And other times I'm like, I've experienced this. I've been
mm-hmm.
here. Something, I don't get this, but I've never been here. It happened to me when I went to Georgia. I'd never been to Georgia in my life. And I was invited in 2000 to come to Georgia. an interview with a company to run the company. It was a film and television company. And I touched down in Atlanta and got on another plane to Savannah. And as I drove out of the Savannah airport, I was like, I've been here before. And I drove the streets of Savannah like I had lived there. And I was like, I have been here. I have been on River Street. I've walked on these streets. And my one of my daughters was with me, and she was like, Mom, I can't even understand this. You're just going everywhere. You know where everything is. And I said, I've been here before. And she said, when? I said, I have no idea. I have no idea, but I've been here before. I know that I have. Never in my life, never in this life, have
right.
I been there.
You know, that I had the exact same experience when I went to Paris for the first time.
Wow.
I just knew the streets. I felt very, very familiar. The buildings were very, you know, and I mean, I'd seen pictures of Paris and movies and TV shows, but that wasn't what I felt.
It's not the same.
I felt the place. I knew the place.
That's what I mean. And what was so interesting was, you know, when you travel to some place that's unfamiliar, and I was with my daughter at the time. She was a young girl, you know, probably 12 or 13 years old. So it wasn't like I had like this super support system, somebody that could take over driving or read a map or anything like that. You know, she was just a kid. It was just me and her in Savannah. And I did not have the feeling of being in a foreign place. I had this feeling of like I came home. You know, like when I drove to Texas, the whole time I was driving to Texas, I was like, I don't even have any idea where I'm at. I've never been here before. But Savannah was different, and it was a really wild experience because it was just like nothing. No apprehension, no anxiety.
Comfort.
None of that little weirdness you get like when you're in a hotel room and you're just like, I'm not home. Nothing like that. On the other hand, a lot of other places I've been, you just, you know, that just that feeling of, ooh, I'm not home and I'm ready to go home type of thing. I could have stayed in Savannah. I could have moved my people there and said, we're staying here.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's been a real pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much. My
Good.
Pleasure to be here.
Good. So we've got all your data. You said everything you wanted to say.
I think so.
So people can find you.
Sure. Yeah, they could just Google Damian Bertrand and they can find everything.
Yeah. So do you have any questions for Dr. Allen?
I mean, what brought you into this field?
Into therapy?
Yeah.
Basically, being so neurotic and out of it, I had to. No, I've gotten into a lot of trouble as a human being. Alcoholism, overweight, a lot of things. And so I switched from, I'm an artist and a musician, and I switched my master's over to studying under Marilyn Bates, David Kiersey, who were Myers-Briggs specialists. And so I just switched and just became a therapist.
Well, you've helped
based
a lot of
on
people.
My own trouble.
And you've helped a lot of people along the way, and I think
I don't help anybody. I teach and do my thing, and if they want to help themselves.
Oh, that's true.
You can't help anybody.
That's true.
You see.
But I think maybe because you went through some hardship yourself, that made you a better therapist.
That's
because
exactly.
You're speaking from a first-person point
totally.
Of view.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's been proven, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Dr. Allen is, of course, as you know, the love doctor.
Yes.
She is the queen of...
Do we have anybody on our screen?
Well, we don't have anybody on our screen right now, but that's okay. What I do have is I have some people that are sending in questions. They're always sending in questions. So one of our questions tonight is...
And for Damian,
for either
one of us.
For both of you. Empowered communications, Dr. Allen and Damian. What does that really mean? How can you empower your communications? I don't understand. I don't feel powerful. I feel washed and lost.
That's because you don't know whether you want to intimidate, seduce, or negotiate. People that intimidate and seduce are zeros. There is nobody home. I love what the Pope was saying today. He was saying dialogue, whether it's the subconscious with the conscious or too conscious, you see. So for me, I'm a transactional analyst.
Right.
And because of that, I manipulate words in order to impact energy.
Right.
And by the age of 3, I can go to a preschool and see the bullies, the whiners, and the negotiators. Mm-hmm. And they're 3 years old.
Yeah.
Scripted.
It's true.
I definitely agree on negotiation and on conversation. I think everyone, and it's also not, you know, what you say most of the time, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
And your physical, you know.
90% is nonverbal.
That's right.
And tones, gestures, postures, facial expressions. But you can't negotiate with them. You have to get those. I sense by the look on your face. I think by the body language. You're upset. Am I right? No, I'm not upset. Look at your watch. Within an hour, they'll be back.
So do you find when you are communicating with your clients and they are in past life regression, mm-hmm. that they have body language, gestures, postures, and things of that nature?
Absolutely. And that was another major convincer for me when I started past life regression therapy, was when someone's in a state, they're very relaxed. But if they're going through a traumatic event or recounting a traumatic experience, everything changes. Their body will tense up. They'll burst into tears. They'll get flush red in the face. I mean, they'll shake. All kinds of different things can happen. And of course, on the other side of the spectrum, when they're happy, when they're talking about love and their soulmate and the person that they spent their life with, you know, the big smiles on the face and their joy, you can just feel the energy in the room. And, you know, like Dr. Allen said, energy. Energy is so important. And energy you feel.
That's all there is.
That's right. Yeah.
We have a caller. What? Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen and Dean Bertrand. How can you talk to us tonight?
Thank you so much. This is Denise of John and Denise Couple.
Oh, hi. And thank you so much for the flowers and the fruit. I really, really enjoyed it.
We really appreciate you, Pat, and thank you. Thank you for the thank you.
What's
so
the
nice
question?
As you mentioned just a moment ago, it's you don't. How did you say? You don't teach anybody. You only share your experience, mm-hmm. and it's up to the individual to make the decision. And so I love that. And
you can't teach the unteachable.
We become teachable, exactly.
You have to be teachable.
So, and through your communication, you share with us that it takes 3 things to love: chemistry, compatibility, and communication. And
that's right.
So
I'm
my
doing,
question.
By the way, I'm doing an all-day seminar in the Marriott by Long Beach, across from the airport. On chemistry, compatibility, communication, November 8th, Sunday.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to give people the opportunity, if they want it, to learn how to negotiate and lessen their intimidation and seduction factor.
Fantastic.
So how are you guys doing?
Great. It's just so simple.
You know what? It's as simple as drive on the right side of the yellow line in America and the left side in England, or you die.
It really is simple. It's like, it is really a waltz. And I just take care of my side of the street with respecting John, and I feel so cherished. And it just feels like a waltz.
Don't ever forget. There's never going to be a woman as sensitive as a man inside, but he needs to be respected to feel cherished. If he feels cherished by being respected, he can cherish you. If he doesn't feel respected, he cannot cherish you.
Yeah, and it just really, really flows. It's effortless effort, as we talk about it all the time, just by practicing this scientific method, this you know, your books, Getting to I Do, and staying married and loving it. That just
I'll pay you after the show.
It's so helpful. So you talk a little bit about the subconscious this evening, and with your guest as well. And so we emanate out to others our deepest subconscious attitudes and emotions, and in turn are affected by the attitudes and emotions of others. And I find that through the communication tools that you teach is so very helpful. And just
well,
like
remember,
you're mentioning,
my tools are built for fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They're built for fighting by intimidating and seducing. When you're authentically yourself, you will speak appropriately. But when you've been scripted, or you're hurting, or you're upset for some reason, you're going to talk weird. So what I do is I give people the opportunity to change the way they talk before they really are healthy. And that is what gives them the beginning habits of healthy communication, because I don't have the years and years and years. I started my business as an alcoholic recovering, and I got alcoholics recovering, and I figured I had to design something that they could get within 3 sessions, because they're probably not going to be sober by the time I get to it. So that's how I literally created androgynous semantic realignment based on the need to transmit my data so fast that I maybe could get in before they drank or ran away or did whatever.
Yeah, it's very helpful. And the other thing that's been very helpful, too, in your book, I believe it's Getting to I Do, you talk about not asking for more, better, or different. And I find myself working that in
wait
my
minute,
mind.
Wait a minute. More, better, different, love, affection, or sex. If you ask for more, better, and different in those areas, you're going to maybe get laid, but nobody's going to make love to you. Making love and having sex are 2 different games. So don't ask for more, better, different, love, affection, time, and sex.
Exactly. And by not doing that, by just allowing the feelings to process, or just to not go there, then it feels fantastic, because I'm not allowing the emotions to run me, so to speak. And it just is so helpful in the communication that we have.
That doesn't mean you can't make an appointment. Honey, I want to make an appointment about love, affection, time, and sex, and have a talk with you. That's an appointment where you both know you're not making love. You're talking about the process that needs to be changed, do you see? But you don't just go and ask for it or teach it without mutual agreement.
Right, and you really helped me with that, because I was just blurting out my thoughts at the beginning of our relationship, and it really flustered John. And so by you and I spoke, and it really helped me to communicate first what it is that the question is going to be about, and then talk about whatever else I wanted to within that. But
when you make an appointment, the person has the subject, and then you ask them, when would it be convenient if it's a man, or when would it be comfortable if it's a woman? What you're doing is you're stroking that inner child, that as soon as they hear this weird formal talk, they know something painful is going to be discussed. But if you give the topic and make an appointment for the comfortable or convenient time, they can set themselves and not react, but respond.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's exactly what happens in our relationship. It's just
good. You're doing fine.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Thank you so much. Welcome. Okay, so we have one of our very long-time listeners, probably since day one, and she has sent me two very special messages with two questions that she would love to have answered.
Okay.
By the way, she wanted me to tell you both that she is so enjoying the show and the topic tonight, and it has been something that has been troubling her for some time. She is curious and wants to know if you have found that soulmates do share previous lives together, or maybe not.
Well, I find through my experience, I've found that there's oftentimes we come back with the same people in different forms from life to life. So, for example, in one life, it may have been her husband. In the next life, it may be her. He may be her father. He may be her brother. He may be her neighbor. It could be a different person. But I think the purpose of that is that our souls will travel together, so that we can work through our differences and experiences, and so that we can perfect the experiences that we have with the people that we care and love.
Mm-hmm. The other question she has, and I think it's actually a really great question, is she wants to know: is there any way that a fear that has no basis in this lifetime can be something that really had a basis in another lifetime? Mm-hmm. She has an extreme fear and discomfort near the ocean, but she's never had an experience at the ocean in this lifetime that would exhibit that sort of dread. So what do you find about that? Do you find that...
It actually reminds me of a client that came in last week to my office who turns out worked on ships out of England, ships in the, it was in the 17th century or 18th century. And, her death came on one of these ships where she was a sailor and, the storms and so on. And the ship ended up, capsizing and she drowned and it was, hundreds of people on the boat died.
Right.
And so she has an incredible fear of water, not just the ocean, but all types of lakes and everything.
Right.
And to the point where she's never even gone swimming, and she's in her 30s.
Wow.
So absolutely. And other clients will come see me, and they're afraid of fire. They're afraid of certain animals. All kinds of things that through a traumatic experience in a past life they've carried into this life.
Right. So you do find that definitely those fears that we think here in this time for us are unfounded definitely have basis in past lives. That is extremely interesting.
And they've done a lot of experiments with animals too, where, for example, they've taken mice, and in one generation, every time the mice would, go to take a bite of a certain type of flower, they would get a shock.
Oh, wow.
And then those mice had offspring, and then the offspring had offspring. And it went on for six generations, and they would test the sixth generation of mice, and if they put that type of flower near them, they wouldn't go anywhere near it.
And that was interesting, and Pavlov also did those experiments with dogs, and then later on, I don't remember the name of the case, but it was a baby. They did an experiment with a baby where they scared him, like with a teddy bear, and he was like, basically... ended up dying, actually, I think, when he was, 7 years old. But so they never did get like that. Well, they weren't allowed to do that kind of an unethical experiment anymore. That was, of course, the 40s where nothing mattered. And that's funny because I just had a project on Stanley Milgram and the electrocution experiment that they did at Yale where people went in, Yale invited them, and then it was a teacher and a learner, and then the teacher would shock the learner every time they did something wrong, all the way up to 450 volts. It was a setup. They weren't really shocking them, but they found that the people would actually go all the way up to 450 volts if they believed that whoever the authoritarian...
Placebo effect.
Whoever the authoritarian figure was going to get blamed, and they weren't.
Wow.
So that was the Milgram experiment. I just did a project on it. So I found that interesting because we do that. You know, it's that whole thing we were talking about again with energy. So we have 1 minute left. I want to hear what you have to say, and then I want to hear what you have to say before we say goodbye.
Well, it was my pleasure to be here, and I'm glad that Dr. Allen, you gave me a voice today to share my experience with your listeners and open up the subject again of past life regression therapy for them. And if it is something that they're looking for, in many cases, it really benefits the person so that they can move forward with their life and just live a happy life, I think is what we're all looking for. And you know, past life regression therapy is definitely something that can help people.
Yes,
that.
And I'm one of the people that got helped.
Yeah, and I'm really happy to hear that. I didn't know
I didn't know you were going to be here, and when you did, I thought of my experience, and I said, I'm going to get to share that success.
Thank you.
I like surprising her sometimes. One more time with your website address.
Okay, it's DamianBertrand.com. So DamianBertrand.com.
All right. And Dr. Allen, what have you got to say to me
today? The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Amen. Okay, everybody, you can find out more on www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook. You know how to do it. Slap that like button. And don't forget, we have a seminar coming up in November. November 8th.
And Sunday.
We have our new location for the Monday night show, and new classes start in January. Look it up. Bye-bye.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.